or those of you who have mothers, which covers quite a few of us, although I suspect that there are a few aliens among us. Ted, could you do me a favor and bring me the remote? You know, that's the thing with men. They're always having to struggle to get the remote. And then once they get them, all they want to do is channel surf. Every once in a while I forget, would you give me that? Every once in a while I forget myself and try to use this for channel surfing, and it just doesn't work. This morning is a special morning because, of course, it's Mother's Day, but even more because there's a special thing in Mother's Day that I would like us all to recognize. It is a great blessing. That is that a mother's love is an actual reflection of God's nature. We don't often think of it that way, but consider it for a moment. A mother's love is so self-giving. I think most of us as men have marveled at that more than once. It is so selfless, so giving, so uncaring about itself. A mother will sacrifice her own meal for the sake of her children. That has always amazed me. A mother will be forgiving beyond any sense of reason or logic in a man's sight. She will be forgiving to the point that her son, who has been locked in jail as a mass murderer, she will just insist that he's innocent. I think in her mind and heart, perhaps he is. And we always marvel at that. Sometimes we even say that, you know, if somebody has looks that, well, only a mother could love. There are elements of the nature of a mother that can only be attributed to God. She is truly a reflection of God's tender side, his tenderness of heart, and the scripture clearly points to that. This morning's message is in three parts. First of all, a mother's love is a gift from God. Second, it is an expression of God's nature. And third, it is worthy of our thankfulness. Respectively, Isaiah 66:13, Mark 23:37, and Proverbs 31:28. For those of you who are listening on the net. On with the first point. A mother is a gift from God. I don't think that most of you know too much about my background. My mother was a dear woman, a dedicated woman, and I could see that selflessness within her. I had a lot of respect for her. But she was an alcoholic. And a lot of the sadness that attends the life of an alcoholic was there for her and for her children. In spite of all that, she had ways of trying to compensate. She would do anything for her kids. And for a woman whose life had been consumed by an indulgence, she had remarkable love. And I did not understand that, really, until I became a Christian. And I realized that God has planted the love of a mother in a mother's heart. In Isaiah 66, verse 13, the scripture pictures quite clearly the relationship, in fact, analogy between the love of God and the love of a mother. Here, God actually uses the love of a mother as a parable of his own love. Rather interesting. So here he says, a mother, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And he's speaking to his people. What a tender, beautiful picture. As a mother comforts her child, that's the way I'm going to comfort you. Have you ever considered that? God's tenderness of heart. And maybe we're a little too quick only to see the masculine side of God. More on that later. The context of this verse is significant. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. The context is one that forms a picture of a child dandled on its mother's knee and fed on its mother's breast. A true picture of beauty and tenderness. And the scripture here is trying to get us to understand, God himself, trying to get us to understand that tenderness of heart that God has. We often think of God, well, the thunderstorms. You know, the power and the might of the thunderstorms and the surf and the waves. And yet, without the thunderstorms, there wouldn't be any flowers. Without the rains that come from the thunderstorms that bring the flowers. So, God has designed it so that one is dependent on the other. Now, I want to share a little story with you that's a great illustration and help me to understand, really, how a mother's love is a reflection of God's nature. In 1979, we had just opened a new church out in Kent, and I was preaching a Mother's Day message. And there was a strange sound of a train outside. And I knew there weren't any railroad tracks around, and it scared me. Just kidding. My cat, Puff, our cat, Puff, had just had some kittens. She was a beautiful, beautiful Persian cat, stately and magnificent, well bred, 100% Persian, white Persian, gorgeous cat. Well, something happened, we don't know what, we don't think it was an immaculate conception. But Puff had little kittens. Of course, little white kittens, and they were beautiful. But that wasn't the end of it. There was one more kitten. So this one suffered, I think, from a low self-image. Nowadays, we could hire a pet psychiatrist and find out, I guess. But there he was, undeniable. Now, my daughter said this. She said, traveling salesman, I had an idea. I noticed the way that cat was so attentive and so tender with those kittens and watched over them. I said, you know what? These kittens are just the right age. Their eyes are just barely open. I'm going to try something. I went down to the church, experimented around with Puff and her kittens. And Sunday morning, I gave the sermon, Mother's Day. And I took that little kitten and held it by the nape of its little neck right up to the microphone in the church. And it went, meow, meow. Higher than that, but I can't do it. He was cute. Right into the microphone. So the whole place was filled with the sound of that pathetic little kitten. Unbeknownst to anybody, I had hidden in back my children hanging on to Puff. I told them, as soon as she meows, that's the cue. You let her go. Now, Puff started way in the back and came bounding down the center aisle like this, right up to me. And she had the evil eye. And she came up to me, and this is not a bit of an exaggeration, she came right up to my pant leg, looking up at me, only she was hissing, and you can't tell there, but she was hissing. And she, you know, she couldn't talk, but the word was, give me my kitten. So I took the kitten and I set it down. She picked it up by the nape of the neck and went rather proudly and slowly back down the center aisle. We had a lot of people in those days who'd outgrown the building, and so we had a second service. She performed precisely the same for the second service and would have a third, fourth, fifth, or however many there were. You know why? Because God placed it in her little cab brain and heart, if there was one, to take care of that little kitten. That's a remarkable thing. God's love, a mother's love, is a gift from God. All of creation, it seems, is dependent on this thing called mother's love, and reflects it quite beautifully. If we have eyes to see, there are remarkable examples. Part two. God's love is an expression of God's nature. Of course, we're already saying that. But notice this, in Mark 23:37, and also in Matthew, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. You see, Jesus is showing his motherly nature there. Now, Jesus was a man, he was a carpenter, he didn't have any feminine side. Look at this scripture. Just like a hen would gather her chicks. Yeah, that's the recognition of a motherly instinct. As we mature as men, hopefully, we do gain touch with that tenderness more and more. You young men who are strong and have a lot of confidence and pride and so forth, the day will come when hopefully you will be enlightened by the civilizing process of your wives, and you will have a special tenderness of heart. Of course, I'm being cynical. There are men who do have that tenderness of heart. And that, too, is a gift from God. But that tenderness is shown nowhere like in the tender touch of a mother. So, you see, these two analogies in Isaiah 66, and the one here show that God's nature is quite in tune with a mother's tenderness, and that Jesus' nature is quite in tune with a mother's tenderness. Notice the additional ending of the verse. It says, I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. What a sad thing. Here he's speaking specifically to the Jews, generally to all of his people. He has that tenderheartedness. But the Jews at that time were not willing to to come to Him. Many of them today are turning toward Christ. But what a sad thing. It broke his heart to see that, to look out over Jerusalem and to see that they just were not willing. He was holding out a gesture of affection in this picture, and they were rejecting it. Unrequited love. You were not willing. That's a strange thing. People have a strong will, but a will that turns away the tenderest, most wonderful gesture of affection has to be missing something. All of nature shows us that God's love is manifested through the mother. Here is a hen gathering its chicks under its wing. It protects them from the cold. It gives them a sense of security. It gives them warmth. And it assures them of the mother's presence and her love. That's the picture that Jesus offered. It's not only in this realm, but in all of the realms of nature, even some of the uglier realms. You know, that little monkey looks to me like it's pretty mischievous. Doesn't he look like that? That, and the mother looks sort of frazzled and put out. Oh well, baby things are cute. God made them that way so the mothers wouldn't get too upset with them. It doesn't matter what species or nation a child comes from, the babies are always so cute. It's a universal thing. How can a mother not love a little face like that? God's tenderheartedness is all around us in nature if we're willing to look. Imagine if you were a giraffe, how far would you have to reach to show your affection toward the little one? The tenderheartedness is just obvious, isn't it? The third part of the message today, a mother's love is worthy of our thankfulness. And yes, even our praise. I think that, most of us have gone through a time in our Christianity when we thought, well, only God Himself is worthy of praise. And might have felt guilty about giving praise to any other person. And yet, the scripture says, Proverbs 31:28, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. You know, as your children grow up and gain more understanding, they can see that their mother is specially blessed because of God's grace. And her husband, as he gains an understanding and maturity, learns to give genuine praise to his wife. Her husband also calls her blessed, and he praises her. We live in a day of women who are superstars. They get all the attention. The superstars, the supermodels, and the big question, I guess, once you become a model, is whether you will ever be a supermodel. And somehow, it just doesn't quite seem to ring true. It doesn't quite seem to be right. In an extending part of Proverbs 31, in the next couple of verses, specifically verse 29, beginning in 29, it says, many women do noble things, and this is the husband praising the wife, it's a quotation, Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Charm is deceptive. A woman can be charming. Just her feminine qualities have an appeal. And I don't mean necessarily just her appearance. The feminine nature that's obvious has a powerful appeal. But that charm, even as important as it is, can be vain. The beauty that changes as years go by, I don't say that it's fleeting. I think the beauty only changes. It becomes something that's more obviously internal rather than only external. The beauty that God created that is timeless will persist regardless of time. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a godly woman should be cherished and treasured and praised and is worthy of it. How plastic does it seem to you? A woman who makes her appearance and comes prancing in and it's all a matter of measurements. All a matter of how perfect her face is. How shallow really is that? Am I missing something? Maybe I'm just getting old? Cut it out. Oh, somebody, Con said, nah. Nope, not old. Thank you, Con. Now I can feel so much better. Well, these things are always evident in our society. The superstars that make the cover of People magazine, or worse yet, Esquire, and everybody goes, wow, look at that. And yet, you take these young men, big, strong athletes, heroes that step forward into the camera, that are making millions of dollars a year and are the size of half a football field, and what's the first thing they say? Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. Even when you can't hear, you can see the words on their lips. They're trying to get through to who? Well, their mother. You know, a mother's love is not unrequited. It comes back in so many ways. And as a mother, you stand head and shoulders. Okay, maybe not in the case of a football player, but in most cases, you stand head and shoulders above everybody else because God has made it that way. A mother is worthy of our thankfulness. When I was a young man, well, I was getting along even then, back in those times. Actually, at the age of 16 years ago, when I was a young man, 16 years ago, I lost my mother. It was a difficult time for me. And if that wasn't bad enough, I was doing the funeral. During that time, I ran into a poem, not really a poem, but prose, that was a magnificent expression of appreciation for a mother. In preparation for this sermon, I went to great lengths to get a hold of that poem again, and it is evidently turned to dust by now because it is nowhere to be found. That didn't stop me. I went to the internet and wound up in a vast wasteland of who knows what. But that didn't stop me. I went to the bookstore looking for the book with this illustration. Nowhere to be found. And actually, it was such a great illustration, I was very sad that I couldn't share it with you. So I did something unusual. I sat down, and I wrote out, not the words, because I couldn't remember the words, but I wrote out the spirit of that prose, because I thought perhaps I could share it with you, and you would sense the same thing that I did. The young mother set her foot on the road of life with the young children at her side. They ate by the lake, and they walked in the warm sunshine, and they played in the streams. They said to her mother, nothing could be better than this. And the days went on, and there were dark clouds on the horizon, the sounds of strife and war and fear. The mother said, don't be afraid. The Lord will watch over us and guide us. The clouds finally parted. And the children said to their mother, today is better than yesterday because you have taught us faith in the face of fear. The time passed, and they saw a long hill on the road ahead. They climbed and climbed, but there was no end in sight. The mother said, with the Lord's help, we can make it. They kept on climbing, and they were weary. And she said, just a little while longer, and we'll be there. They came to the top, and they said, today is better than yesterday, because you have taught us perseverance in the face of struggle. The days went on, and the months, and the years. The children were growing gray, and the mother was growing old, bent over with the weight of time and the lengths of struggle. And then the children watched as she walked on ahead and through the gates and on to a shining road. And their tears flowed, but the children said, Mother, you are a blessed memory, and living in the and you are a living presence in our hearts. You see, there is the superstar. There is something worthy of praise. God help those who can only praise the beauty of this passing time. That is an example of a mother who taught her children not simply the ABCs, but something much more significant, something much deeper, and something that will truly last. Do you know, we affect our children spiritually. I talked recently to somebody that had a special joy while Tanya was here sharing with us about the women's prayer, and they saw her daughter, and they were just delighted that in her daughter they saw not only the words of Tammy, but they saw the heart of Tammy, and they were delighted by it. You know, mothers, you can pass on not just words, and not even just words of wisdom, but real depth of heart to your children. And that is something that cannot be compared with anything else. I want to share this scripture with you in closing. Genesis chapter 1, a familiar verse, God describes the creation, and as he does, in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him." He created, and he created him. What's missing from this picture? Well, I like that. God is this masculine, he's strong, he's powerful. But listen to this. You may never have heard this before. I'll read it again. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Created he him. Male and female, he created them." There isn't even time for a breath. He's talking about the creation of mankind, and it says, male and female, he created them. You see, one is incomplete without the other. The power and strength of the thunder is incomplete without the delicate expression of the flower. The power and strength of a man means nothing except there's a woman who needs that strength and a woman who appreciates that strength. The tenderness of touch is not, should not be, foreign to a man. And strength of arms shouldn't be foreign to a woman. But yet God created one to complement the other. Women. Women. Can't live with them, can't live without them. I hope you can smile at that. I don't want to hear any chastising words after this sermon. You should be able to smile at that, and if you understand how God made things, you would. Could women as easily say, men, you can't live with them, can't live without them? You ladies, could you say that? Come on now, be honest with me, could you? Okay, the microphone cannot hear that, but let it be recorded that there was a resounding yes. You know, have you ever thought maybe God designed it that way? So that we're so strongly attracted to one another that we just have to be together. We have to live together. And although now we have become encased in some little abode under the same roof, having to share the same space and the same toothpaste tube, and God in his wisdom knew that would happen. He knew there'd be struggles. He knew our egos would be struggling one against the other. He knew that the rough edges of selfishness would clash with each other. And that hopefully, one day we would come to the recognition of Jesus' example and finally turn away from some of our selfish ways and look beyond ourselves and see somebody there in the other person and love them and forget about ourselves. So, marriage is a pressure cooker. It is. It puts people under pressure. You know, I've heard people that had unrealistic expectations of marriage just say these very words, actually under this very roof, you know, marriage is not all it's cracked up to be. Oh, they don't know. Yes, it is. It's more than that. It's what God pictured that's supposed to be realized. And yet, our selfishness prevents us from having the joy that we could. You say, well, yeah, but you don't know my husband, or you don't know my wife. Boy, I'm telling you, all I need to do is show a little bit of tenderness of heart, and boom, she'll get me. She'll get everything. She'll get every bit of my attention. She will absorb everything that I have. She is an emotional black hole that will not be satisfied. Oh, you foolish men. You see, they're designed to protest when there's not a glimmer of love or selflessness in the man they're with, or barely. It's for our good. And women, it's the same way. I really don't see any difference. It's just that we're human, and that it's tough not to live with men, not to live with women. It's tough to live with another human. That's what it's about. And God in His great wisdom and grace provided us that opportunity. A mother's love is expressed throughout nature. She is the expression of God's love that nothing else seems to equal. There's a different kind of expression, perhaps, through the life and the heart of a man, and it also is unequaled. God created us in His image. God created man. And then it reemphasizes, in His image He created man. Male and female created He them. The Apostle Paul said, the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Specifically, he said, in weakness, my strength is made perfect. And you see, without one, there is not the other. There has to be both sides. I'd like you to think about that poem, actually the prose. The young mother is setting her foot on the path of life. I'd like you to think about the course, the road of this life, how it has days of sunshine and blessings that are more obvious, and days where the storm clouds come on the horizon, when there are the sounds of war, there is the sound of strife, where there is darkness and fear. The words of the mother comfort the heart, pointing us toward trust in God. And I'd like you to think, as you go down that path, that finally the mother came to a road that she had to travel alone. She went over that road and up the hill, and finally she went through the gate. And there she set her foot on a shining road, on a shining path that was eternal. I want you to stand as we consider a scripture. Let's please stand. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. You see, God wants us, each of us, male or female, to set our path according to His direction, to set our foot on that road, the path that shines brighter and brighter. And it's only by the help of Christ, the tenderness of His mercy, the unwavering forgiveness that seems to be typified in the mother's love. It's only by the love that's shown in the picture of a baby dandled at the mother's knee and nursed at her breast. It's only by that that we can truly see the wholeness and the encouragement of God's heart. You may have a need this morning. to make changes in your life, maybe to step forward and to dedicate your life as a mother, to ask for God's help in guiding your children. You may need, as a child, to appreciate your mother. You may need to repent and have awesome respect and praise for that wonderful thing that the Lord has placed in her heart called a mother's love. I hope that this message will stick with you as this little prose did throughout the years for me has a very special place in my heart. I hope that God's message of love will be evident in your mother's lives, in your husband, in your wives. I hope it will become more evident as you hear these words and take them to heart. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning thankful that you have given us such great blessings, such a great and abundant evidence of your love, that nature is replete with examples, and that our lives at every turn have a message that we can see through your Spirit. Father, give us the cues in life that will help us to know which way to turn. Be with each mother here this morning, Father. Help each one to have special wisdom, special tenderness of heart. Help them, God, to have strength and patience. And help them, God, to be a great blessing to their little ones. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we'll take a moment for announcements.